James chapter 1, as we have discussed already, not much on the agenda for verse covering in our beginning of the book of James. Tonight, we look to cover James chapter 1 and verse 1. All right? And James is way in your New Testament, almost towards the end, if you're having a hard time finding it. It's a small book, about five chapters. And what we're going to do is a verse-by-verse study through the book of James. Going verse-by-verse allows us or mandates that we discuss it all. And can't really jump around. I mean, certainly could, but that would not be the verse-by-verse. So we are going to look at what the Lord has for us in the book of James. I do not expect it to be, 6 months to be going through these five chapters. So probably next week we'll cover close to 11 or 12 verses. But tonight we're looking to James chapter 1 and verse 1. The Bible says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Say, Pastor, that's our verse for tonight? Yes, that is our verse for tonight. Why don't we pray and as we seek the Lord in His Word, what He has for us. Heavenly Father, we thank You for tonight. God, I'm thankful for Your Word, and I'm thankful for how perfect it is and how it so perfectly touches our hearts. God, as we study the book of James tonight, as we study who James was, Lord, God, may we be encouraged by His faithfulness. God, may we be encouraged by His dedication to the church in Jerusalem. In the midst of difficulty, He stood. May His faith encourage us to do the same in the midst of our world. Heavenly Father, as we study it, Lord, I pray that the verses would make sense. And God, thank You that You've given us information, recorded these things so perfectly. And Lord, we do love You, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, as we look at James chapter 1, we're pretty much going to ask two questions. Number one, who is James? And number two, who is the 12 tribes scattered abroad? I think it's important to understand who's talking and who are they talking to. Important lesson when we study our Bibles. When we are looking at the book of Matthew or in the book of Acts, sometimes things get a little out of whack doctrinally if we're not careful to pay attention to who's talking and who are they talking to. So James is no different. So our question begins, who is James? Well, good question. It would be a lot easier, may I say, if in our New Testament everybody only had one name. So if there was only one James. We're going to find in some passages as we study tonight, there are three ladies all in the same verse, all with the same name of Mary. Really? I mean, there's not that many names that you could, but they all like Mary. That was the number one name of James's time. And there we are. So James, I'll tell you first who he's not. First, he's not the brother of John. Say, how do you know that? Well, let's look in Matthew chapter 4. We'll look at some verses tonight. Hope you brought your Bibles. We're going to be looking at a bunch of verses. Some might be a little repetitive, but it will make a point. What we're studying, our little people. I know maybe this material tonight might seem a little teachy, but it does give us a springboard into where we're going. I do think it is an important study, or else I wouldn't be bringing it to you tonight. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 21. And going on from thence, he saw two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother. Saying, here's our author. No, this is not this James. So how do you know that? Well, let's look over to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. There was a James who had a brother named John. Let's understand that. Acts chapter 12, and verse 1. We'll start in verse 1. We'll read through verse 3. Now unto that time Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. And he killed James. Well, is this our author James, or is this James the brother of John? Well, it tells us. And he killed James the brother of John with a sword. This is approximately 40 to 42 AD. in verse 3. And he saw that it pleased the Jews. He proceeded further to take Peter also. And we know the story, right? Peter finds himself in jail thinking he's going to be dead. And all of a sudden, the gates open up and he goes walking out. He's knocking at the door. Hey, we're just praying for you. And they go up. Remember all that? Well, it was pretty scary at that time because they just took James, the brother of John. Say, how do you know there's another James? Look at the same chapter in verse 17. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James. Well, if that James and James, the brother of John, are the same people, well, they wouldn't really be sending them to go see him. So we have two Jameses. One is the brother of John. That is not our author. James, the author that we're talking about, is the son of Alphaeus, the son of Mary, the sister of Mary, the mother of Jesus. So he was the cousin to Christ. So how do you know that? John chapter 19. John chapter 19. So what are we doing tonight? We're studying our Bibles. All right? Studying our Bibles. Jumping through the New Testament here and there. Who knew that there was so much on James? Here's our author, his mom. John chapter 19, verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. So at this moment, right at the foot of the cross are three people, all of which have the same name, Mary. Are you getting a little ringing? Do you hear that? Can we turn that down a little bit or do whatever we need to do? Is that better?
Yeah. Perfect.
Is that your horn I hear? No, it was raining. Is that what it was? Raining, remember? Okay. I heard it. John chapter 19, verse 25 said, now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. Who's Jesus' mother, Opal? Mary. And then his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. So we have three Marys here. Mary, the wife of Cleophas, is James's mom. Say, how do you know this? Let's continue on. Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. And verse 55. And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which were Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Joseph and the mother of the Zebedee children. So here, Mary is the name of is the mother of who? James. This is going to be our author of the book of James. Look at Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15. Say, I just got to Matthew. I'm sorry. We're going quick tonight. Mark chapter 15 and verse 40. Anybody have nicknames? Joe, you have a nickname? What's your nickname, Joe? It's Joe. If you don't know, Joe's real name is Jonathan. Chase, what is your nickname? What is it? Stuart. That is your middle name, is that correct? Stuart Little. Oh, very good. Chase, let me just help you. You might not want to share that with the group, all right? Yeah, you know? All right, anybody else have a nickname? Anybody else? Opal? What is it? Hummingbird? That's kind of sweet. Who calls you Hummingbird? Dad. All right. That's sweet. Sweet. All right, Anna. What's your nickname? Anna Banana. It works. It rhymes. All right. We could do this all night. And as much fun as that would be. Say, why are you asking? Well, James, our James, look at how he's known. James chapter 15, verse 40. And then we're also women looking on at, afar off sounds very similar to our Matthew chapter 27, same verses. Among whom Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James. The less. How would you like to be known as James the Less? This is a little James. This is James the Lesser. Say, who's James the Major? Well, Peter, James, and John. That James. James, the brother of John. But this James was poor James. And Mary, the mother of James the Less and of Joseph, and there his brother is Joseph. So here we have our author, James the Less, son of Alphaeus and of Mary. Look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 13. Acts chapter 1 and verse 13. Acts 1:13, this is after the resurrection of Christ. For the disciples, I would say, very unstable times. They have no idea what's going on. Here we are in Acts chapter 1, verse 13. And when they were come up in the upper, when they were come in, they went up into the upper room, and there abode Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and James and or Thomas and Bartholomew. Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus. That's our author there. There's two Jameses. There were two disciples named James. James, brother of John, and then our author, the son of Alphaeus. The cousin to Christ, Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, we'll read this again. Matthew 13 and verse 55. Our author's name is James. He's the son of Alphaeus, and his mother's name is what, Jacob? Good chance you, anytime anyone says a mother in the New Testament, just say Mary. Good chance it's going to be right. We have Alphaeus and Mary, and they had, we know at least two boys, James and who? Joseph, right? Matthew chapter 13, verse 55. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren... Here's family, James and Joseph. Remember, Mary we found in one of our earlier passages. I think it was, I think it's John 19 was the passage where it said there was Jesus' mother and Mary, her sister. So James, our author, cousin to Christ, grew up around Christ. If you have cousins, sure. Some people's cousins are very close. He was a relative of Christ, part of the brethren. And not only that, but he was one of the 12 disciples. Matthew chapter 10, we saw this, but Matthew chapter 10 and verse 2. Here we have the list of disciples, the apostles. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 2. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus. There we have our author. So James was part of the group that saw everything that Christ did. The same list is found in Matthew chapter 3 and in Luke chapter 6. So what happens to James? What is James's life after Christ dies and is resurrected? What does he do? I mean, we read the book of James, but it doesn't give us a lot of historical information through that book. What do we know about James? Well, look at Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. At one point in Christ's life, there was a lot of people that were following him. It said that there was a multitude. We saw that a little bit this morning. So many so that almost innumerable. I mean, we have certain stories where it tells us how many. But something happens throughout the life of Christ where he asks them to take a step forward, not just feeding, but following. And a lot of people leave. You know, when Christ died, there weren't many people left following Christ. When the church first started, how many were in that room? But a few. 11, to be exact. They added Matthias, and then we saw Paul get added. And throughout the preaching through the book of Acts, we would see numbers of people being added after. But there was a large following that followed Christ to begin with. And then when things got hard, a bunch of people left. James was not one of those people. James was with it through the whole thing. Acts chapter 15 and verse 2. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem under the apostles and elders about this question. So there was a problem. They had a question. They go back to Jerusalem. What do we know about Jerusalem at this time? Incredibly volatile. Incredibly persecuted. Very difficult times. And in chapter 15 and verse 12, Paul and Barnabas show up in Jerusalem, and who do we see? Then all the multitude kept silence in verse 12 of chapter 15 and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered, "Men and brethren, hearken unto me." James has clout. James has influence. James has a role in Jerusalem, in the church of Jerusalem, that when he spoke, people listened. He had a prominent role, if you will. Look at Acts chapter 21 and verse 12. Acts chapter 21 and verse 12. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Remember, Paul was warned, hey, don't go to Jerusalem. Remember, the Holy Spirit told him, don't go. And Paul answered, "What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but to die at Jerusalem for the name of our Lord Jesus." So where is he going? He's going to Jerusalem. Should he have gone? Well, that's a whole different discussion. But who does he find in Acts chapter 21 again? And the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. James, being faithful through wave after wave of persecution, it almost seems like he was the one of the people that were able to hold the whole thing together in Jerusalem. He didn't quit. He didn't run away when it got hard. Paul actually has some nice things to say about him in Galatians chapter 2. He talks about John, he talks about James, and he talks about Peter. Go back to James chapter 1. So who is James? James, son of Mary, who is the sister to the mother of Christ. Son of Alphaeus, brother to Joseph, cousin to Christ. Saw all the miracles that Christ did. When things got hard in Acts chapter 1, he stuck around. He kept the church together in Acts chapter 12 through when there was dissension among Paul and Peter, and he responds and talks of the results, and Paul had good things to say about him. He was faithful. He didn't quit, even after persecution after persecution. He stuck with it. So when we see the name James, hey, this was a significant figure in the keeping together of the church at the beginning. This man was what we would call faithful. This man was what we would call loyal to the cause of Christ. But we have this insight into him even further. A servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, I'm here, much like Paul wanted to minister to the Gentiles. Remember those times when we just read just now that Paul reports to James about the things that happened amongst the Gentiles? Look at who James tries to reach. So the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. And we look at that and go, well, this book isn't for me. I'm not Jewish. My kids just watched some for the first time, Fiddler on the Roof. Man, what a great movie. Well, now you're all singing the songs in your head. You're welcome. But here, what does he do? He's reaching the 12 tribes. And some people say, James is just not applicable to us. Can I respond to that? So the question, I guess, would be, is this written to the Jews or the Christians? Well, here, before we answer that question, let's look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We're just going to briefly go through some verses quickly. And believe it or not, we're almost done. I wanted to answer the question, who is James and who's he talking to? Acts chapter 2. Look at verse 5. Acts 2, 5. We'll read through verse 11. Maybe 11. We'll see. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews. Anybody go to Jerusalem? Brother Bauman, you've been to Jerusalem? Mrs. Baer, what do you find at Jerusalem? Jews. That's like going to America and finding Americans. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Here they had the Pentecost, and they were coming together from all over. And when this was noised abroad and multitude came together, they were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they're all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in his own tongue wherein we were born? And it goes on to talk about these areas. But what were these people? They were Jews, dwelling or meeting in Jerusalem. Come over to Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. Out of this is birthed the church. Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Acts chapter 4 and verse 1. Now I spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them. Where are they predominantly preaching? In the temple. You know what they're going to find in the temple? Jews. Jews go to the temple. Acts chapter 5 and verse 17. Then the high priest rose up, and all that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands upon the apostles, and put them in common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors, and brought them forth, and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. May I submit to you that the majority of the early believers were Jews. Acts chapter 5 and verse 42. And daily in the temple and every house, they ceased not to teach and preach who? Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 7. This is where it all comes together. Acts chapter 7. The Bible says, and they stoned Stephen. You know the story, right? This is what happens. Right? Stephen stands up and he preaches, and they're pricked to their hearts, and they have really the nation of Israel at that moment is on their final trial. And although individuals do get saved, the nation as a whole gets kind of put off to the side for a moment. Enter the church age. And they stone Stephen and say, we don't want to have any part of it. Acts chapter 7, verse 59. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. The death of Stephen, as we would call him, our first martyr. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was great persecution against the church, which was at where? Jerusalem. What kind of people live in Jerusalem? Jews. And they were what? All scattered abroad. James chapter 1. James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Are these Jews or Christians? Can we say both? Can we say that as we approach the book of James, that, hey, this man that walked side by side Christ for 3.5 years, that was instrumental in keeping the church together in Jerusalem, that was trying to minister to those early Christians that have been devastated, if you will, by persecution after persecution, place after place, displacement after displacement, is our author. And as we come to the book of James, we understand from his perspective now what he's writing. He grew up next to Jesus. Remember what it said of Christ, that he had no honor amongst his own people? Except for James. James, one of the 12 apostles. James, who was faithful through the hard times, writes a dear letter to the church. The earliest of Christians. And the very first thing we're going to talk about. Look at verse 2. Of James chapter 1. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Oh, his perspective, his view, his background, his understanding of what's going on makes all of these words even all the more sweeter. Is this applicable to me? Absolutely. But he wrote a dear sweet letter to a church that was, to a group of Christians that have experienced a great loss. And the Bible defines him, yes, his nickname, James the Less. But how about this? James, a servant of God. With so many opportunities to hightail and get out of there. It was incredibly risky for him to stay. Friend after friend was being killed for the cause of Christ. And yet he stayed. Because he didn't serve man. He served God and the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a big difference when someone serves a man and when someone serves the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at, we'll look at two verses, John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Might I say, James, an unsung hero of the New Testament. John chapter 12 and verse 26. The Bible says, if any man serve me, James, a servant of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. James, servant of God. What is the priority of your service? Do we serve others? Or do we make God our first priority? Oh, we can serve others. But it put it in order when it talked about James. James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ got the preeminence. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. That he might get the preeminence. So in our life, as we compare our life to James himself, we will not do much character study from this point forward. We'll look at the content by which he talks. But tonight, can we reflect on our life? Have I gone through some hard times? Have you gone through some hard times? Have you been up against it and felt like, hey, this is difficult, this is hard, and are you running? Or are you trying to minister to those that are hurting? When it got tough, did you hightail it? When everyone else, when the whole family was mocking? There, the cousin to Christ. The Bible called him his brethren. Stuck by. Stuck by the side of Christ. Are we the ones that would speak up for him? Does Christ have the preeminence in your life? Or do we do it for somebody else? James is a hero. Hero of the faith. And he has quite a bit to say about trials and difficulty and prayer and faith. And we're going to study it. But can I tell you this? What I took away from when I read through James is that James's Christianity was real to him. It was no joke. He wasn't partial in. It wasn't like, hey, on the weekends. He was a doer and not a hearer only. There's going to be much to learn out of the book of James, but let's understand where he came from. His perspective on Christianity. I remember years ago I was at First Bible Baptist Church, and Mrs. Hughes. Anybody remember Mrs. Hughes? Who? Mrs. Hughes came in to, they had like a week long, or throughout Wednesday nights, they would have a VBS kind of thing for the kids, and us as teenagers kind of helped in that. And Mrs. Hughes came in, and man, she was all in. And she had, may I say, to what I was kind of taken back. That was kind of my first interaction with Mrs. Hughes. Mrs. Hughes, if you don't know, was very much dedicated to the Kafula Futa Mission over in Zambia. Her and her husband helped supply a lot of things for the Bonner family and did a lot with that. And she had very little time for anybody that was marginal. You're either in or you're out. And she's telling little kids this. She's like, you guys throw out crayons. I could take these crayons over here and we would do things and they would be so thankful for it. And she's just reaming these little kids out that just up one side and down the other. She's yelling at eight-year-olds, get in! You know? James. Kind of the same approach. Because he saw a lot of loss. He saw a lot of hurt. He saw a lot of persecution. He wasn't there because it was easy. He was there because he was committed. Oh, that we would get a little bit of that in us. That when it gets hard, we're not, huh, where's the closest exit? There it is. I'm out. This is difficult. This is going to take work. That relationship's going to take work. Hey, it'd be easier if I hightailed and got away. I'm going to go somewhere else. I don't want to cause trouble. No, how about you get right and do what you can to pull it all together? That's what James did. Again, as we go forward, we'll not be examining much more the character of James, but do understand where he came from. Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed tonight.